The reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, beginning on verse 8 on chapter 2, and you'll find it in the Pew Bibles on page 1027. Shepherds and the Angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you, and you will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
So I've got, do you know what this is? It's a dressing gown. Why would I have a dressing gown with me today? Why would I have a dressing gown with me today? Sorry? Anyway, today we're thinking about the shepherds. So that's why we're wearing a today, look. Deborah bought it for me. Was it last year? Yeah. It's very warm and rather fetching. Isn't it? What do you think? Is it an improvement? I just totally feel like a shepherd all of a sudden. I feel really hot all of a sudden. I don't think I'll wear it. Anyway, you've got the idea. Maybe, Clive, do you want to come model it for me? Do you want to come and model it for me? No, okay. Thanks very much. Anyway, do you ever think sometimes nothing ever happens to you? Nothing really good or exciting happens to you? You sometimes think, well, my life just keeps on going, going, going. I never do anything exciting. It's all pretty mundane. I never get invited anywhere particularly exciting. I feel like I'm invisible. I'm overlooked. Do you ever feel like that? You think only the rich and famous and powerful have good things happen to them. The rich and the famous can make things happen, exciting things happen. But me, no. Nobody even knows I exist. And if they did, they wouldn't like me anyway. I know you don't think about that, but some people maybe feel like that. But in God's world, that never happens. And the story we have today turns all of that world upside down, because God always stands on the side of the neglected or the overlooked or the powerless. Always. And this story today is just a lovely picture of that. Because here's God in this Christmas story, the most wonderful story told, and he chooses an unlikely mother, Mary, unmarried. All the difficulties around that. He chooses an unlikely venue, Bethlehem, a stable, a manger. None of those things seem to comprehend. If you're going to do something really good, something suitable for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, well, it wouldn't be through Mary and in Bethlehem. And then he chooses some unlikely witnesses to that. And here they are. The shepherds. The lowest of the low. You couldn't trust a shepherd. They were uneducated. They had no social standing, no power. They were nothing. They were nobodies. Nobody wanted to know a shepherd. And if you were a shepherd, well, it was a bit of a shame. You were the lowest of the low. And yet, It was to these shepherds that God gave the first message, the first news, the first good news about this birth in Bethlehem. He chose the lowest of the low to tell. Not a king, not someone rich and famous, some shepherds in a field looking after the sheep. And boys and girls, can you remember from last week, what were the four words that came up over and over again that the shepherds or that the angel said? What were the four words? Do not be afraid. Well done. Do not be afraid. That is exactly right. You're all awfully clever. But you adults didn't remember that. Do not be afraid. Yes. And today we're going to think about four more words. We're going to think about four different words. Well, two sets of different words. But they said, do not be afraid. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flock at night. And an angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will be a cause of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. And suddenly a great heavenly host appeared and said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on those on whom his favor rests. So the words I want to think about today are the words, let's go and. Let's go and. Because in verse 15, it says this. Let's go and. It says, let's go and see. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that the angel has told us about. Let's go. And it says, they hurried off. It was urgent. It was urgent. They hurried off. They didn't say, oh, we'll go in the morning. We'll go on our way home. We'll go when we're not so tired. Oh, he won't go anywhere far. We've got plenty of time. Says they hurried off. It was urgent. I think that speaks to us, doesn't it? It was urgent because it was important. A man called C.S. Lewis that you all know of, a Belfast boy, and wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, said this. He said, Christianity, if false, is of no importance. If it is true, it is of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. So our faith, if it's not true, who cares about anything? If it is true, it is of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be, C.S. says, is moderately important. Now, what does that say about our lives, about our faith? As you sit there, would you call yourself a follower of Jesus, a Christian? Because if you do, then this is the most important, good, and wonderful news in your life. It's more important than anything else in your life. The shepherds hurried. Let us go and see. Let's go and see. And they went. And Jesus was later to teach that those who seek always find. Always find. God does not play hide and seek with us. God is not hard to find, but we must look for him. But when we do, we always find him. So what does that mean for us today? Is this true for us today? In our role as an elder or a member of committee, as a Sunday club leader, as a parent, would you call yourself a follower of Jesus? And so is this urgent? Is this important? Is this something not to be put off? Is this more important than lying in bed on a Sunday morning? Is this more important than our Sunday roast after church? Is this more important than our work? Is this more important than getting the kids to rugby on a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning or whatever it might be? Is this more important? Because if this is true, this is of infinite importance. They said, let's go and see. And they found him. But who doesn't come to the manger? Who doesn't come to the manger? The self-sufficient, the pride, the arrogant, the ones who will put it off, or the ones who say, I don't really need to go. They won't come, they won't hurry, and they won't find. And if we don't find the baby in a manger, let's go and see. And they went and they saw. And then the second let's go and is verse 17. And when they had seen him, they, what did they do? Can anybody remember the reading? When they saw the baby, they, well, they worshipped. Yeah, what did they do after they'd seen the baby? Sorry? Very good. Well done, Hazel. Top of the class. Yes. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. When they had seen him, they went and they spread the word concerning about the child. Because if this is true, then it is not to be kept a secret. What does it say about the people who heard? It says the people who heard were amazed. The people were amazed. It didn't say they believed. Lots of the world is amazed at the Christian story. Lots of the world enjoys the Christian story. Lots of the world are impressed by the Christian story or admire Jesus, but it doesn't mean that they believe in him. It doesn't mean they put their faith in him. They are amazed. Gosh, that is amazing. So we don't know who believed and who didn't. Jesus didn't come to impress us. He came to rescue us. But this news was so good, this news was so important, that when the shepherds had come and seen, they went and told. And that's the second little phrase for us to remember. The first one is, let's go and see, and the next one is, let's go and tell. And that is what we are called to do, in whatever kind of way we do that. But not to keep it a secret, because if it's true, it's of infinite importance. And if we don't tell, let's go and see. Let's go and tell. Then finally, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds returned. Where did they return? They went back to their fields, went back to their sheep, went back to their jobs, went back to their lives. They went back to the same old thing, but they were changed. They didn't go back the same way. And so it is with us. If we believe, if we put our faith in Jesus, then we still do the jobs that we did. We still have the same families. We still live in the same neighborhood, but everything's new. Everything's changed. The surroundings are the same, but we are changed. God is still in the business of transformation. That's what he does. That's what the Spirit does. That's what he always does. Everything is new. New wine, a new song. A new creation. Everything is new in Christ. Let's go and see. Let's go and tell. And wherever we are, to be transformed and to live for him, that the world might see that this is good news indeed, that we believe it, that it is of infinite importance to us. It's not easy, is it? So many things in the world drag us down. And it becomes of secondary importance or third importance or slips down a list of priorities. But Jesus always wants to be number one. That's where he should be. Number one in everything we do. In everything we are. He is the rescuer of the world.